a little different direction this evening. In my lifetime, I don't want to get too far off track here, but Brother David's generation is just old enough to have probably really experienced the tail end of the new cars that was being produced before emissions became a big issue. And so in the early 70s, before the early 70s, the late through the 50s and the 60s, and maybe through about 71, 72, somewhere along in there, cars were just getting more and more powerful. And I remember as a small boy being able to go to the filling station and fill up with regular or a pump that they had labeled ethyl for the higher performance cars. And I remember in our little town that I grew up in, when the first gas pump came in that said unleaded, and we thought that was, it was just a big social push against that. Anyway, as soon as the unleaded fuel showed up, the power of the cars, they went down dramatically. And people didn't like how they run, and it was just, there was just a lot of complaints. So growing up as a young boy, probably in preteens and through my teenage years, there was a lot of people that were older drivers that just, one of their favorite things was to complain about the lack of power that automobiles had compared to they used to have. And they complained about fuel economy and just regulations in general. And this morning we tried to introduce the idea that it's very important for us to have power in our relationship with God. Power where we're comfortable and confident in calling on Him in our times of distress. I will tell you that the people that I have become connected with, the people I know that are in a trade that I'm not in, they are very valuable contacts for me. Because it's a power that I have accessible to me because of a relationship that I have with them. So I would like to look, let's go back to the sixth chapter of Ephesians where we were talking about putting on the whole armor of God and how it's important to have all of that. And we may revisit that as time goes on. But the 10th verse said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." So if I started out a conversation by saying, "Finally, my brethren," then you would probably want to know what I had been thinking or saying before that. If you walked into the room and I said, "Finally, we get to the important part. Finally, we get to the point that we're going to hand out the rewards," or "Finally, we get to the point that we're gonna name the guilty people." Now, you would want to hear what I'd said before that. If you just showed up and I said, "Finally, we've come to the point that we're going to name the guilty ones. If you just showed up in time to get your award, then maybe you was okay in, on that one. But if I'm starting to name names of people that are guilty, then I would venture, I'd want to know, hold on just a minute. I want to know what was said before this. How did we come to the conclusion that these people were guilty? Well, I read this. This is where we started this morning. And I would like to go above this. I'd like to get what, because I'm interested in regaining power. I believe that as children of God, as Christians, that we justifiably should have, I'm going to include myself in this, we should have more power with God than we've got. All right? I'm not satisfied with the level of power that I have. I'm not satisfied with the level of power that I see amongst those that I have confidence in. I believe they're living a good life. So I'd like to go back to the beginning of this chapter, and I would just like to notice some fundamental things that were covered before he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." So let's start with verse 1 that says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Did you know that to get on the right page with someone that can be a real asset, give you access to power in your life, is to follow instructions that they give you? I remember one time somebody was broke down on the side of the road trying to get to a destination, and they called me and they said, "My vehicle is overheating and I'm trying to determine if my fan clutch is the problem." It was a hot summer day and they were trying to drive, you know, as fast as possible because they had couple thousand miles to get to where they were going. They were driving from the West Coast all the way to somewhere in the middle. They called me and said, "How do I tell?" So I give them, I'm thinking, okay, if I'm broke down on the side of the road, how do I tell somebody how to diagnose a fan clutch on the front of their water pump? So I tried to give them a step-by-step procedure about how to diagnose this fan clutch. So we hung up, and I was hoping that they could determine. I want them to be able to get to their destination. And they called me back in a little bit, and they started telling me what they did. And the more they talked to me, the more I realized I might as well not said anything to them. They had another plan in mind to how they were going to check it. And they didn't do anything like I told them to. And we got to the end of the conversation. It's like, I don't know what to tell you. We didn't do anything that build a relationship here. Not that I didn't like the people. It's just, they didn't trust what I was told them, so I don't feel like I know what to do to help. You know, if we want to have power with God, we have to be obedient to the Lord. When he gives us a checklist, it says here, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The pattern of children obeying your parents is the right pattern to follow. Not the children obeying the parents obeying the children, but the children obeying the parents. It's the right thing to do to obey God's instructions. don't live contrary to God's instructions and then come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been trying to be a Christian and nothing's turning out right. And if we've not been obedient to His instructions as our Heavenly Father, I'm going to tell you, there won't be much power in that relationship. We won't have much power with God because we haven't been obedient to His instructions. He says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You know, when a child honors their parent and respects their judgment and respects their input, and as you get to be older and become adults and have your own family, it becomes a place that we have to navigate the relationship to be a more mature relationship. You know, parents, I'm just going to speak from my perspective. It's easy for me to say, it would be easy for me to give my sons too many detailed instructions. Like, you need to get up earlier in the morning, or you need to go to bed earlier, or you need to do this or not do that. And really, that's not my place anymore. It was my place when they lived at home, but not my place now. They live at their own house. But you know, when they respect my judgment, there is a level of power that comes in that relationship when we can respect and honor one another. It says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. There's rewards for being obedient to parents and for honoring parents. I believe that applies to our heavenly father just like it does our earthly parents, our mother and father. And it says here, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So it's important in these relationships that we don't cause irritations that are unnecessary. It says, provoke not. You know, we're going to do things amongst any group of people that the minor element is we're going to disappoint one another. We're going to wonder why somebody did what they did. You know, if somebody forgets to turn the light out and they were the last one in there, that could cause us to begin to ask questions. Why didn't they turn the light out? But you know, if we will handle ourselves wisely and cause, we want our relationship to be powerful, we won't use that to provoke that other person. Okay? I'm just talking about fundamentally, how do we have, let's think about our relationship with the Lord. Have you ever found that God, do you feel like God looks for a way to make you feel small? I don't. You know what I'm talking about? You can make me feel small by reprimanding me for not locking the door, for not turning the light out, for not picking up my wrapper off of my peppermint. Or you can make me feel like a failure because of the decision I made. You know what I find in God? I find God is there and ready to help us make better decisions and encourage us to do the right things. He teaches us. He gives us instructions. And when we fail on some little minor thing, instead of Him bringing that up to us, I find Him loving us and giving us, we may have a repeat lesson. He may teach us again what's most important. But you know, we ought to capitalize on that and realize that God is wanting to make our relationship with Him powerful. I believe these are ingredients. You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If we continually try to make our children feel like they're immature, it's going to provoke them. The other way around, if we try to encourage them in being more mature, we will cause them to be better equipped to honor parents. I don't believe that we should only have positive reinforcements. I believe we can correct our children when they misbehave. Don't get me wrong. But I'm very much a proponent of parents capitalizing on things that children do right and bragging on them for doing something that's more mature. One of our grandchildren was there. I believe this was today, or maybe it was last night. Probably it was last night. And helped Anita set the table. They said, Nani, I can set the table. And she showed him where the plates were. She got them where he could get to them. And he put the plates around the table and he put the silverware around. And that's encouraging them to be more mature. And I believe we ought to do that. I believe God does that with us. And that it creates a powerful relationship with God. He says here, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. So, servants here most likely meant someone that was indentured servant or working for free or a slave. An indentured servant is someone that someone else may have paid your bill, and now that you owe them labor to repay them for an investment they made in you. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. Here again is a key ingredient. If we want our relationship with the Lord to be powerful, there has to be a level of obedience. It's not something that God owes us anything, really. But if we are obedient to His instruction, to His beck and to His call, it creates a more powerful relationship. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. As we learn how to be obedient in our everyday life, whether it's our supervisor or the one we would call the boss, or to our parents, or whatever it is, as we learn to be obedient to their instructions, It also helps us to learn how to be obedient to the will of Christ. They have to run along the same path. Did you know to try to exhibit obedience to Christ and be the most obnoxious employee that a place has, that doesn't create a very solid experience. You follow me? You say, well, I'm obedient to the word of the Lord, and yet everybody else that works with you knows that you're the most difficult person on the whole job to get along with. You know, that's not consistent. If we're obedient to the Lord, then people ought to find you one of the most easy to work with people. There should be a consistency as unto Christ. It ought to be. You want to have power with God? There ought to be consistencies in our life. Okay? So he says here, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from where? From the heart. What does that mean? It means that our intent, our purpose, is to please the Lord. You know, if somebody somebody comes to a place of work, and we have a term sometime we use, in my line of work anyway, if somebody's coming to work, they're kind of going through the motions, but you can tell they're not really applying themselves, we'll say they're kind of checked out. You know what I'm talking about? They're there. If you're on a job where you punch the clock, you know, they're there to punch the clock, but after they punch the clock, it's like there's no enthusiasm. There's no urgency to get the work done. There's no making as good a progress as you know they could. They're just kind of checked out. And then you come along and a few weeks later or a few days later, you find out, oh, they're leaving. They turned in their notice. They're going to quit. Well, once that happens, somebody else might have said, well, you know, I kind of noticed. They've been kind of checked out. But what does this say? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You want to have a powerful relationship with the Lord? You want to have a powerful influence in your workplace? Be able to, when you speak up and say, I'm not sure that's a wise choice for us to make, you want people to stop and say, you know what? I think we ought to listen to him. That's power. I've been on the job a long time, and there's times that people will say, hey, Dan, what do you think we ought to do? And if I give them my thoughts about how they ought to handle a difficult situation, I get a lot of questions during the day. How do I get this bolt out? This new part I put on doesn't work properly. Or I get all these kind of questions during the course of the day. And the reason they come and ask me is because they believe that I'm going to give them a good answer. Not just one that makes them feel good, but one that'll get the problem to go away. And there's power in that. And I want another generation to cultivate that type of application of themselves where somebody else can step in that gap and be able to be that kind of assistance to their fellow employees. He says here that he's talking about a servant, being a servant from the heart. The next verse saying, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You know, there ought to be a pattern in our life to where someone could look at the way we conduct ourselves in the job and predict what type of parent we are, what type of spouse we are, what type of member in the congregation we are. They ought to be able to predict that. This is how we develop a powerful relationship with the Lord. It's very fundamental. It's maybe on the bottom rung of the ladder, so to speak. But if our life is all over the board, if when we go to the shopping center, when we go to the grocery store, we're always combative with the checkout over our coupons, you know, people will come away from that saying, well, I'm sure glad I don't live with that lady. I'm glad I don't live with that fella. You know, you bring your old greasy part back to the, you know, your new parts, you got all greasy, and you take it back to the parts store and tell them, this part's no good. Or did you drive it to Chicago and back? Or, you know, what? If you're difficult when you're out in public, people correlate that to what type of person you are in other places. And I'm talking about us being able to be in a place where we have power with God, because I want us to be able to be in a place of having power with God. And if we are inconsistent in our life, I believe we won't consistently be able to have power with God. He goes on to say, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing to them that forbear, same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. What does it mean to forbearing, threatening? What's he talking about? You know, if you're in a place of being a supervisor, the boss, there's a way to be a boss, to be a leader, where you just take charge and you threaten consequences for every minute little misstep. And I wonder how many of us like to work in those situations. I don't. I don't like to be threatened, period, but I wouldn't like to be threatened multiple times, like everything is always up in the air all the time. I like to have a smoother day. If you don't get this done by noon, you know, chaos is going to erupt, or, you know, whatever the threat is, I like to take things a different approach. He says forbearing, threatening. Forbearing, is that what he said? Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with them. So whether we find ourselves on the servant end of the stick or the master end of the stick in this life, I believe that we ought to have a consistency of temperament in how we handle things in life, where we can address, there are things that are not pleasant to address. We've probably all been there when things didn't go right. When something that we tried to accomplish didn't turn out like it should, or when we delegated something to someone else and they didn't do it like we thought they should do it. We've all had those difficult places. And the best thing we can do is handle it in a mature fashion and ask the Lord, how do we handle this? Forbearing, threatening, doing it from the heart. If one of the best things that I have ever been able to say to somebody that has a broken car, I believe, is, Mr. or Mrs. Customer, if this was my car, this is what I would have to do before I would send my family down the road in your car. This is where I think you need to spend the money. This is where I would spend the money if it was my car. When I put myself in their, try to put myself in their shoes, there is something about that that gives me power in the relationship. You know, I believe that we can trust the Lord enough that when we find ourselves in a place that we believe we've displeased the Lord, maybe He's put His finger on something. I believe you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, if you was here, how would you handle this? You know, people have little bracelets and all kinds of things they wear with the WWJD. For those that don't know, that stands for What Would Jesus Do? And I think it's important for us as we go through life, at this moment, right now, where I'm at, on my job or with my family, what would Jesus do? What did Jesus do in a similar type of confrontation? And you know, when we put ourselves in that place and we genuinely react the way Jesus would, I believe there's power there. Will increase the power in our relationships with our everyday associations, whether it's our family, whether it's on our job, whether it's our neighbors. How is it? Your neighbors ever done anything that disappointed you? Yeah. Have you ever done anything that disappointed your neighbors? Yeah. You ever worked next to somebody that disappointed you? Yeah. Have I ever disappointed people that I work next to? Yeah. You know, the most powerful relationships that's come out of that is the ones that we have been able to approach both from both sides and say, look, this disappointed me. I was expecting this, and this is what happened. How can we work this out? And many times, it's if we just understand one another, we can find a solution. And there's power that comes from that. I started working as a young man at a Chevy store when I was 19. And when I started there, there was a man that had a pickup under warranty, but the engine, we would say, it had blown up. It had a part that was supposed to be on the inside that had punched a hole in the side of the engine, and it was hanging on the outside. So I was 19 years old, and I was assigned to that job, and I was able to fix it. And the man was, I don't know, he was in his 40s, early 40s probably, maybe mid 40s. And he come and got the truck, and I don't know anything about the business part of it. I just know I was pretty excited to, as a 19-year-old, to get to fix this engine, and built a new engine to put in this man's truck and put it all together, and I had it running, and he was very happy with the end result. And every time he would come in to the place I worked, he wanted me to work on his truck. And of course, that made me feel good. And this went on for quite a while, and finally he came in one day and he started talking about how old he was and how old I was and all of that. And I just told him, I said, man, I said, you're old enough to be my dad. And he did not believe me. He said, I had to show him my driver's license. I showed him my driver's license, and he said, if I knew that you was that young, I wouldn't have ever wanted you to work on my truck. But he continued to let me work on his trucks because we had some power built up. We had a relationship that was a working relationship, and we'd been able to prove ourselves to one another. I'll never forget that. And I want us to work towards a type of life. I want us to have powerful relationships with the people we know. You know, some of the saddest people I know are people that don't have any friends and they don't have anybody that they can trust. They're the most lonely people in the world. They don't have any powerful relationships. And I know other people that it doesn't matter what you tell them about, they say, let me call. I got somebody I can call. You know, those are the kind of people that I believe have powerful relationships. They may not have everybody owing them favors, but they got somebody they can call and say, hey, I've got a problem with my electrical box. I've got a problem with my whatever it is. Can you help me? You know, when I talk to somebody and they say, you know, I know somebody I can call, I believe that person is powerful. Because they have built, there's something about their life that causes people to want to share information. There's power there. Okay? And when we build a relationship with God, because we obey what He says to do, because we give Him real heartfelt service, because we are able to not be always on the fringe of being reprimanded all the time. We know those that have made it through school and maybe through the workplace, and they're just almost ready to get written up or called to the office, or whatever the red line is, so to speak. They're just almost there all the time. They just barely escape in trouble. They don't have a very powerful relationship. I want us to be on the other perspective. I want us to have a relationship with the Lord to where He knows if there is something that's not going right, it's not because we're intentionally trying to see what we can get away with. All right? I want us to have power with God. And the way we do that is by building a relationship like you would want to have with your children, with your parents, with the man down the street that works on the water department when you need some help from the city. you want to know that person that's the on the city council. You don't want to know that person that's the whatever. You want to know those people. You want to have a relationship. You want to have some power there. Not that you're controlling, but just some power when you call up and you say, "Hey, my name is Sam. I'm the one that lives across the street from you. Yeah, what can I do to help you?" That's the kind of relationship I want us to have. I want us to have those kind of relationships with everyone we come in contact with. Sometimes it's not possible, but I'd like for us to. I'd like for us to work towards that. That's power. And I sure want us to have it with the Lord. Lord, it's me again. Isn't there a song that says, "It's me again, Lord"? I don't know if we got the words to that. I want to have a relationship with the Lord where I can, you might say, call Him up. Say, "Lord, it's me again. I got this issue in my life. What would you do if you was here? If you was me and I was you, what would you tell me to do? What would be the best way to handle this?" That's a relationship that's powerful. You pray for me. I want to have that kind of relationship with people, and I want to have that kind of relationship with the God of heaven. You pray for me.